week of our Unshakable series. Let me encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up one of the books on your way out. And this week, read chapter 3. Chapter 3 will help you immensely as we reinforce the message that you heard this morning. So we heard about Alexander. It's a book that we read to our children as well growing up, about the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And we've all had those. Probably the person who's had more of those than just about anyone is Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown has those all the time. You see them in the Peanuts cartoon. So there's a classic. Here's Charlie Brown, and he is on the beach, and he is doing what you do on the beach, which is to build a sandcastle. And it is a magnificent sandcastle. It is a huge sandcastle. It is an intricate, delicate sandcastle, and he has spent all day working on this creation. But then, of course, inevitably, next frame, there is the wave. And the wave comes crashing down on Charlie Brown's sandcastle, and all he sees now is a lump of sand. And he throws up his hands, and he says what you and I would say, I know there's got to be a lesson in this, but I don't know what it is. You ever felt that way? When you have those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. Well, St. Paul was having a no good, a very bad season. He was in prison, and he had been in prison before. He'd been shipwrecked, he'd been beaten, he'd gone through all kinds of terrible things, but in this case, he was about to be executed. And so he writes the words of our text in a letter to Timothy. When we have things happen to us, we could learn from St. Paul that there is indeed a lesson. Instead of just throwing up our hands and asking, you know, why me? Let's ask instead, the next time trouble occurs, what is the lesson here for me? Because let's face a fact. All of us are either going through trouble, we've just been in trouble, or we're about to be in trouble, right? That's what life is. So let's learn the lessons that are available to us. So here's the very first one, the first lesson that Paul teaches us through the Word of God, is that I can count on God's presence in my life. Did you hear that? I can count on God's presence in my life. Everybody had deserted Paul. Everybody, all of his friends. We don't know where they were. And he had lots of friends. He had written many letters. He had traveled the world, literally, and had met hundreds and thousands of people, and yet every one of them deserted him. Except, he says, the Lord stood by me. All deserted me, but the Lord stood by me. Now, I remember teaching this lesson many years ago when I was on vicarage. So I was practicing to be a pastor. By the way, I'm still practicing to be a pastor. It goes with you the rest of your life. And so part of the practice was, is I would preach and I would teach. I taught adult Bible class. I taught the youth group. But I also had to teach kindergarten Sunday school. And I was not yet quite prepared for that. So I remember teaching this lesson, and I used this verse, if you put it up on the screen, from Psalm 27. Even if my father and mother abandoned me, you should never tell kindergartners that. I mean, that was my first mistake. I'm like, what? Mom and Dad, leave. Well, the point was, the Lord won't abandon you. The Lord will hold you close. So I asked the obvious question, you know, what does this mean? And thankfully, one of the kindergartners got it. And he said this, it's in your notes. He says, when there is only one of us, there's really always two of us. Isn't that great? Even when you're lonely, you are never alone. Even when everyone else deserts you, your business partner leaves, your spouse leaves, your children run away, they never call, they never write, they never text. Well, those are my children, sorry. You are never alone. God is always with us. And not only that, Paul writes, the Lord stood by me, but he also strengthened me. Here's a fact that we all need to acknowledge, that God's power is greatest when we are the weakest. You ever notice that? God's power is greatest when we are the weakest. Now, maybe it's our human nature, and maybe it's more of a guy thing, but we have this macho image that we try to keep up. You know, there's nothing that I can't handle. You know, I'm a guy, I can do it. And then I can't. And typically, it's when I'm at my lowest, when I'm at my weakest, when I'm literally down on my knees, is when God's power comes. And it usually comes in one of two ways. Because our enemies are either flesh and blood, or they are ideas. So if you go to the next slide, God will give you power either to face your foes, the flesh and blood people. Let's face it, you know, life would really be pretty good if it weren't for the people. Right? Except when I'm alone, then I kind of like people. We're almost always in conflict with somebody, aren't we? Our spouse, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors. So God gives us the power to face our foes or to fight our fears, whichever it might be. So this is the first lesson. And now this is not in your notes, but you can maybe pencil it in. Notice that God did not save Paul from his troubles. He didn't save him from his troubles. Does anybody know how this ends in 2 Timothy? It's not good, is it? No. Paul's executed by Nero. He's going to die, and he's going to die very soon. And so God does not save Paul from his troubles, but rather he goes with Paul into his trouble. Now that's a true friend, someone who goes with you into trouble. Now, when I was a youngster, I had a twin brother, still have a twin brother. We got in a lot of trouble. And I used to say he's my best friend because he would always go into trouble with me. Usually he was the one who would get me into the trouble. Well, that's not what Paul's talking about here. God doesn't get us into the trouble, but he goes with us into the trouble. He's always there for us. That's the first lesson. So the next time trouble comes, and it will, don't throw up your hands and say, why me? But rather, know the lesson that God is there with you. And secondly, know this, that I can count on God's purpose for my life. Yes, God does have a purpose for your life. And it's not just to take care of your family. That's important. It's not just to be there for another person. That is important. It's not just to do your job, whatever it might be. That is important. But God has a greater purpose. Just as he did for Paul. Now let's go back into the context for just a moment. Paul's in prison, and yet Paul, being a Roman citizen, has an opportunity for a trial. And so he goes in front of a judge and he says, everyone has deserted me, including his attorney or advocate. All Paul has is himself. But when he stands up in front of the judge in a packed courtroom, because everyone wants to see what this important Roman citizen is in trouble for, he doesn't defend himself. He doesn't say, wait a minute, I'm innocent. He doesn't prove any facts at all about himself. It is all about God. He uses the craziest defense ever given. He talks about this carpenter from Nazareth, about how he was born of a virgin, how he grew up as a sinless human being. And then he is revealed as the perfect Son of God as he goes to the cross and is executed for crimes that he did not commit, so that everyone in that courtroom and everyone in the entire world could have an eternal relationship with their Heavenly Father. That's his defense. And he writes to Timothy that God strengthened him for that purpose. And so often when you are in trouble, it is not God's intent to get you out of it. Instead, God is far more interested in doing something in you than he ever is to do something for you, to grow you, to mature you for your purpose. Now he makes it abundantly clear what Paul's purpose is. Paul writes that the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. His purpose is to preach God's message. And secondly, so that the people who needed to hear about Christ would hear. I mean, picture this. Paul is in front of a pagan judge who never would have heard about Jesus Christ unless Paul was on trial. He is in front of a packed courtroom of Gentiles, unbelievers, pagans, non-Christians. And he never would have been there if he weren't going to be executed. God's purpose was for his message of hope and love and salvation in Jesus Christ. That was to be preached to the people who otherwise never would have heard. So here's a point for you. The next time you're in trouble, the next time you have difficulty in your life, ask yourself, who's watching? Who's watching when you're in trouble? Well, your family. Are they all believers? Your friends, are they all believers? Your neighbors, are they all believers? I can guarantee you that when Pastor Tiemann is in trouble, when I have difficulty, there are people watching, and they're all asking themselves, maybe not overtly, maybe not every moment of the day, but occasionally it will come up, I wonder how he handles that. I wonder if he will rely on the Lord or himself. I wonder what his so-called God will do. And when we are obedient, and when we realize that the trouble is not about us at all, but it can point to God, then the Son of God is glorified. Now we know the Son of God was glorified in this case because God is always glorified when a seed of faith is planted. Whether it was in the judge or someone in the crowd, because of the message, faith was created and a soul was saved. The next time you're in trouble, don't ask, why me, Lord? But rather ask, what will you do through me, Lord? So that you might be glorified in this case through my trouble. And a final lesson, which Paul learned and we can all learn, is that we can count on God's protection over my life. Paul writes, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And we see that. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And we wonder, did we read that wrong? How is Paul rescued? He is going to be executed. Well, when it comes to rescue, the meaning is to be taken from the presence of, which means you can either have the danger be taken from you, which is what we all want, or you can be taken from the danger. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you are a Christian. Can we say that? Let's say you are a Christian. And let's say you are sick. Anybody in here ever been sick? Anybody in your family ever been sick? You ever pray for any of those people? All the time. And we will again this morning. I'll stand there behind the altar. We'll have our list of people that we're going to pray for. What do we mean usually, at least in our mind, when we're praying for people? We are asking for God to heal them physically. and God often does. And that is one way that the danger can be taken from us. But God also can do something even greater. So often we think when a person isn't healed that that is a bad thing. But it can be an even greater thing. Because God can take the danger, the illness, the disease from us, or God can take us from the danger permanently. What a hard thing it is when we pray for healing, when we pray for a certain outcome and we don't get it, and we begin to ask, why me? Or where is God? Why did God heal me of cancer, but not so many others? Why did God heal me from cancer, but he didn't take the autism from my son? Because sometimes God heals physically, and sometimes God will heal permanently. Sometimes God has a greater purpose that we cannot see at the time or understand until we look. And I know that one day that my son will be healed permanently in heaven. And until then, I can see his gentle, tender heart and the lives of so many people that are touched because he hasn't been healed physically. So often with the world and the devil mean for evil, God turns around for good. And there's no greater example than the cross. When Jesus went and he is hanging there, the devil says, I've won. The victory is mine. My enemy is dead. And then God raised his son from the grave. What the devil had meant for evil, God uses for good. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, again from the Psalms. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Well, what concerns me? From my vantage point, it's every day. It's every moment. It's all the physical and the emotional. But for God, it is so much more the spiritual and the eternal. And so that last point is the one that is the best news of the day. Did you realize that everything that happens to you in this earthly life, everything, God can use? Not that he sends your trouble, but he can use that trouble as well as the joys and all the things that we consider to be blessings to get you ready for eternal life. And that's what God ultimately wants to accomplish for all of us. The abundant life, the spiritual life, the eternal life, the life that is connected to his son Jesus Christ. From the time that that seed of faith began to grow in our hearts until the time when it will flourish in heaven. And that's what he wants for everyone. Especially in the midst of your trouble. That you would grow and you would mature. And so you could point others to the hope and the love and the salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ. And so the next time that you're having one of those horrible, terrible, no good, very bad days, when that huge wave crashes down on your sandcastle. Don't say, why me? Say, why not me? And say, I know that there is a lesson. God, help me find it. And so often that lesson is to know that God is with you, even when everyone else has deserted you. To know that God truly has a purpose for your life, and He does protect you in the midst of the trouble, so that you can point others to Him. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.